We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Radio.com Sports Insider Brian Scalabrine joins us again. Those calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at indeed.com/hire. How are you, Brian?
I'm doing well. I'm trying not to overreact. I'm trying not to overreact to the NBA as it is right now, but you guys got to be somewhat excited, at least for the rest of this season, right?
I just wanted them to try hard. And they were down, what, 22 at one point last night? And they actually tried hard. And I know there's no Jimmy Butler and there was no Hero. There was nothing there. But I've seen that team lay down and get hammered before. So you know what, Brian? I was pretty satisfied with last night's win.
Yeah, I think the whole situation with Beeline, and there's always a bump in the NBA. There's called a trade bump. You know, you trade for a blockbuster, and the team, everyone rises their level. There's the coaches get fired bump. There's the the playoff push and all that stuff. So there's always a bump, and what we're seeing that, at least we saw the other night with the Cavs, is that bump. I think these guys are sort of figured out that, you know, we're still pros, and we still got pride out there, and that's what they showed last night after getting their head beat in and for them to come back like that.
Well, one thing we definitely noticed is they made some different moves when it comes to the lineup. They ended up benching Colin Sexton in the fourth quarter, Andre Drummond to the bench too, and they really just said, here, we're going to give the ball to Kevin Porter Jr., somebody who has showed a lot of flashes. He's been very inconsistent. But was a total project where they took him in the draft and they said, hey, go win us this game. And he was able to do it last night. It was fun to watch.
Yeah. So here's where I'm at with Kevin Porter. So I like those type of players. I like the players that come in and they're sort of offensive players and they sort of establish themselves from like the offensive standpoint. They come in and they're trying to score 20 every night or be, you know, like a future star in the NBA. I don't mind that. But what I worry about is, you know, just being that type of player. I don't believe in that side from the development side. It does work with the mega, mega stars. Like LeBron walks on, you saw it day one, you see him and you're like, okay, this guy is elite and whatever. But there's a lot of guys that fall into that middle. I just hope, like, as they go along, and I didn't think Beeline did this, but I hope moving forward that they hold, like, Kevin Porter Jr. to accountability on the defensive end of the floor. They hold Kevin Porter Jr. to a guy when he drives the ball and there's a guy wide open in the corner. If he doesn't make that pass, whether he turns the corner or gets fouled and scores, I hope the coaches are holding him accountable to making the right play. Because ultimately, when you're great, making the right play, that's what gets you over the hump. That's what makes you an all-star, when you're making the right play. Eventually, if you just lock in on the hoop and you have your good nights and your bad nights, we've seen that song and dance before. We can point to Deion Waiters. We can point to all kinds of guys who look and say, oh, I had my 20 tonight, but does it impact winning? And I think ultimately what impacts winning the most is a guy who's unguardable. And to be unguardable, you've got to be able to share the basketball. So I don't mind when he has nights like this, no doubt about it. And if he decides and they hold him accountable to that type of development, which they can, he's still a young player, then he could be a problem moving forward. But only if he understands how to make the right basketball play throughout the game, and then that's the end result is, hey, on nights like this where you have 30, that's fine.
You know, you just mentioned, well, I had my 20 tonight, and that's fine, and they don't make a big difference. Lima kind of took umbrage with Andre Drummond this morning. and what type of player he is. Lima, you mentioned him in the same breath as DeMarcus Cousins.
Well, I said, and he's not as talented as DeMarcus Cousins, but you'd watch DeMarcus Cousins. He would dominate guys in the post. He would just flat out put on these great spin moves, dribble moves for a big man his size. He'd get 25 and 10 or 25 and 15, and his team would lose, and he would have no impact on winning. And Drummond is not as good as DeMarcus Cousins, and I saw it last night. I'm watching Drummond, and I'm like, all right, he'll block a few shots, okay? He'll on the few plays he decides to be a good team defender, he might be able to protect the rim. Outside of that, it is. I mean, the guy's shooting threes, Brian. There's no. That's ridiculous. Guy can't even shoot free throws, and you have him shooting threes.
Well, he made two last night.
And I don't want to ever see it again.
I'm with you. Here's the thing. Like, and the NBA, I think this year, the NBA is so different than it was even 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Now, like, okay, when you're watching Drummond and you watch him play and you have the ball at the top of the key, when he goes into a dribble handoff or a pitch and a follow to a screen, or when he's on the block and he flies out to set a screen for Darius Garland and sprints full speed, which you won't see that because he won't. He'll walk into those type of plays. I don't know if, like, those type of plays are plays that a $25 million big or a $30 million big does. I'm starting to wonder about the NBA and if you can hold guys accountable to the smallest of details. And I think more than anything, I've just talked about Kevin Porter Jr. making the right play, but when big men fly around on the offensive end, set screens, dive hard to the basket, not there, fly back out, set another screen, dive hard to the basket. I just wonder if when you're paying a guy, because by the way, that is hard to do. That is hard to do, and that impacts winning. I wonder if a $25 million big, I wonder if there's no more value in that. And what you'd rather have is a bunch of like $8 million bigs who can play, like, play balls to the wall for, you know, 4 minutes at a time, flying up the floor every time, running the floor, posting up, flying back out to go set a screen, diving to the rim, defensively switching out on a guard, and then the shot goes up, going back to the rebound. Like, that is what impacts winning to me. And I'm starting to see, like, all the top-tier bigs, including, I don't know if you guys seen Embiid last night. Embiid was dominant against the Hawks. But I'm not seeing that from him either. And I think that type of play is what the big man is turning into. Not the, give me the ball in the post, I'm going to lumber, I get my rebounds, I'm not going to go out and challenge a shot at the rim, I'm not going to go out and guard a guard at the perimeter, you know, I want to be by the basket and rebound the ball. So I don't know if you can ask Drummond to change. I don't know if you could say, hey, I know in the past you've done this your entire life and you've been financially rewarded for it your entire life, but I need you to play completely different than you ever played before. I mean, again, and I just wonder if he's going to be open to what I would consider winning basketball from the five position.
Brian Scalabrine joining us, radio.com NBA insider. Find him on Twitter at Scalabrine. Was John Beilein the real problem with the Cleveland Cavaliers?
That's a good question. You don't want to put it all on one guy. Obviously, there was a lot of different reasons. But I would say this. When I saw the Cleveland Cavs in the preseason, I was shocked that they started the season as well as they did. Because I was one of the worst teams I've ever seen. Organizational-wise, defensively, the two guards, those guards who are, in my opinion, big-time pick-and-roll players. You guys weren't really running pick-and-roll. You were running more like what the Portland Trailblazers run, if you think about the flare screens, the reach screens, stuff like that. So I just thought, like, offensively, it didn't seem like it worked. It didn't seem like it fit. The shot profile they got, pull-up jumpers, not necessarily, shots at the rim or shots from, from the three. So probably it's ultimately his fault, but I wondered if Tristan Thompson, and I'm not blaming these guys, it's just like the makeup of their team, right? Mm-hmm. Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, guys who have never been to the top and seen like the brilliance of LeBron and all that and all the greatness that they've been through, the going against the Warriors and their experiences. I wonder if you had a bunch of young guys on the team, how the season would have unfolded. Maybe it would have been different, but my point in the NBA is pretty simple. You offensively, you got to draw two and play, advantage. So you come off a pick and roll, you play 3-on-2 on the weak side, you play 2-on-1 on the weak side. They just didn't do enough of that for me, not early in the clock where you, that's what you really want to do in the NBA is like get an advantage and play from there with 18 seconds on the clock so you're never up against it. So I didn't love what they did, but I don't want to just sit here and blame him. A lot of it is situational with different players that you could have had on your team.
Yeah, I don't want to either, Brian. I because it's like, well, you know, if I look at Colin Sexton, and I know it's not all Colin Sexton's fault for crying out loud. This will be his fourth coach in 2 years. Boy, him and Baker Mayfield have a lot in common now. But it'll be his fourth coach in 2 years. You know, I wanted a little bit more maybe leadership out of Kevin Love since, you know, he signed the deal. But, you know, that's a fan thought. Can I ask you something else as a fan? You know basketball people. Lima ran a draft calculator, a draft simulator. It came out with us with the second pick overall. Now, we looked at a couple of the mock drafts and had the Cavaliers taking LaMelo Ball, number two overall. I flat out said, well, we can't do that?
No, you can't have another point guard, right?
Well, my...
Go ahead. I want to... Oh, please finish this thought because I wonder if you're on the same line as me with Colin Sexton, but go ahead.
Oh, no. Mine was much weaker of an argument. I said I really don't want him because of his father.
Oh, no. No, you just can't do that because you already have a problem at that position. You can't have, like, when they drafted Darius Garland, I was, like, shaking my head. Like, what are you guys doing? It's one thing if you want to have, like, two versatile point guards who have size to play off the ball. But it's another thing if you have two guys that don't defend well, they have to have the ball in their hands, and they're not great off the ball. So I don't necessarily understand it, but you can't go get another guy that needs the ball in his hands at this point. I mean, maybe you take best available and you make trades. I was surprised that Colin Sexton didn't get moved at the break, but I guess they're all in. I don't see the dynamic between those two guys ever like panning out. But I mean, listen, I'm not there every day. I don't see them working every day. I don't see how they respond to each other. Not in the games, you see that, but like in behind the scenes. Because for that to work, those two guys got to be like best of friends. It's like Russell Westbrook and James Harden. That's not supposed to work, but it does because those guys respect each other and they're best of friends, right? Well, they also have great size, but it's just I don't know like long term if that's going to work. And then you add in another point guard. No way.
All right, one last thing. You watched the Lakers and the Celtics. Do you think the Celtics are that good? They didn't even have Kemba Walker in that game.
So with the rise of Tatum, the Celtics are now in that conversation, right? They have a guy, they have two and a half. I look at Tatum and Kemba as guys who can take over. Kemba's so fast and so deceptive out there. Then you have Tatum, who can do it with size. Then you have Gordon Hayward, who can, like, get downhill and make plays. Then you have Jaylen Brown. So they have a team that's built so different than what we've previously seen. All those guys this season have scored 30. Kemba and Tatum have both scored over 40. And then you have a guy like Marcus Smart who had like 36 one night. So their team is built so differently. So I would say that as Tatum continues to ascend the way he has the last 2 months, which is just off the charts, the Celtics are now in the conversation to maybe beat the Bucks and their juggernaut of a team that they are. But where they were at the start of the season and where they're at now, I'm shocked that a team can improve as much as they have during the season.
All right, Brian, appreciate you doing it. Let's do it again.
You got it, guys. See ya.
All right, there he is. Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider Calls brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. You can also hear Scal's Honest Podcast, available at Radio.com and wherever you find your podcast. Great basketball talk with everything you need to hear on the NBA. Just search Scal wherever you find your podcast.
Coming up next, we update the Would You Rathers, and Joe Schobert is the most polarizing figure in Cleveland sports right now. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.